With Northwest News from KNKX, voters in Pierce, King, and Snohomish counties will soon be making a decision about Proposition 1, also known as Sound Transit 3. In 2004, voters in 8 Colorado counties approved their own rail expansion plan called Fast Tracks. Census data show that both the Seattle and Denver regions were among the top 5 fastest-growing metro areas last year, and both have focused largely on rail as a solution to congestion. So why was a Denver price tag so much smaller? As part of our series, Sound Transit 3, the $54 billion question, Simone Alisea talks to Colorado Public Radio's Nathan Heffel, who has covered the Fast Tracks rollout in Denver.
So the Seattle and Denver areas have seen massive growth. Both cities were also among the top 20 urban areas with the worst traffic congestion. Just out of curiosity here, I know we have the tech boom, and what's driving the growth out there?
There are a number of reasons why there's expansion growth here in Colorado with our population, especially in Denver. We've also seen the oil and gas boom. That's brought numerous blue and white collar jobs to the area. There's a stable tech and aerospace industry. But along with our strong economy here in Denver, other concerns have arisen. We have a very tight housing market, which has seen many people priced out of the area, especially lower income and minority homeowners. Traffic on area highways has increased, and the city skyline is continually changing with new buildings going up. There's also a concern that some feel that the city is losing its identity because of all of this influx in population, as well as the boom in construction across the Front Range.
Those are definitely things we're feeling out here. I can tell you that much. And you know, trying to move all those new people through the city, that's something that Sound Transit is trying to address here. For our listeners who aren't familiar, can you give me just a brief overview of the Fast Track proposal as it was billed to voters?
Sure. It was originally a $4.7 billion expansion funded by a 0.4% sales tax increase. It was touted as 122 miles of new light rail, commuter rail, and bus rapid transit across the Denver metro area. The idea was to get people out of cars and into trains and buses, and that was going to equal less congestion and a better quality of life. Even back in 2004, government officials were sensing that the population would continue to increase across the area. The proposal said all the lines would be complete by 2018.
All right, Nathan, let's talk about costs. People here have asked me why Denver seems to have been able to do more for less, but I think it's an apples and oranges comparison here, right?
It is. I reached out to RTD, and they say Seattle's expansion is fairly unique because of the geography. There's limited room to expand in Seattle, and so tunnels are essential. The spokesman I talked to at RTD says the rough rule of thumb is that tunneling is at least 10 times more expensive than grade construction at basic cost. And there are no tunnels in RTD systems. So, of course, there isn't that price increase that you would be seeing in terms of funding it.
Right. And you guys have a lot more space, right? You know, when we're trying to build, we are building in pretty dense urban areas, and we have to buy property at prices that you would buy property in those areas. But you don't really have that problem, right?
Well, yeah, and you can kind of see that in the example of our A-line commuter rail to the airport. The airport is quite a ways away from our city center, and there's nothing out there. People say it's as far away as Kansas, and there's nothing built up there. And so it was very easy for RTD and the consortium of companies that are designed that project to lay track where they needed to buy land at a very inexpensive cost, and to build it without any issues of, let's say, eminent domain or moving around existing buildings.
You mentioned that at least part of the plan was funded by a sales tax increase, but can you tell me a little bit more about Fast Tracks financing?
RTD and Fast Tracks also has utilized something called a public-private partnership. That's where a consortium of private companies are liable for financially designing, building, and maintaining the project. They bid for that project and hoped that they're going to get paid and get revenue from that. And that contract that they have between the public entity and the private entity is usually a number of years. For our commuter rail line to the airport, it is at least 35 to 40 years out.
Right. When I spoke to Sound Transit, I'd ask them, you know, why weren't public-private partnerships part of the initial financing model for Sound Transit 3? And they also pointed out that their bond rating was really good. They could finance really easily without having to go to those third parties. So what they did is they left themselves open to pursue those for certain segments in the future, but didn't have to commit to those from the get-go, which they're saying is gonna help taxpayers sort of in the long, long, long run.
And that's the same here in Denver. Not all of Fast Tracks was funded with public-private partnerships. There's also a large amount of federal funding that Denver bid for and got, which significantly moved up the timeline for completion of our system.
So how has the rollout been so far?
Overall, the system's been very well received. It's always a big day when there's a new line opening across the Denver area. But the final line to be completed is the Northwest Corridor commuter rail between Denver and Longmont. The plan was to have the entire Fast Track system in place and complete by 2018. However, the economic downturn in 2008 and the change in the cost of raw materials now has that final line completion by 2042 at the earliest. You have these communities that have voted for Fast Tracks that are paying the sales tax that aren't seeing any true benefit. And that's a concern to people in the area, that people that voted for Fast Tracks back in the early 2000s may not be alive when that commuter rail finally hits their town.
But do you think what they have been able to complete, which is most of it, does that do enough to address the problems that RTD said they were trying to address?
There has been relief on area roadways. However, you have to couple that with the fact that our population is booming and traffic is still a big issue. So you have to balance the fact that we do have a pretty extensive system of light rail and commuter rail, but more people are moving here and there's still traffic to deal with each and every day.
So any advice for us over here on the West Coast as we contemplate our transit expansion here?
I think definitely from what I've talked to voters and people who are, of course, riding these lines, to ask questions and to ask questions about what if something happens? What if there is another major economic downturn or some other event that would slow the process? What happens then? Or if the ridership numbers aren't there, what happens then? Or if too many people begin to use this system, what do you do then? To really keep an open mind about asking these questions and to push your agency officials to have those answers.
All right, Nathan. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
No problem.
That was 88.5 Simone Elisea talking to Colorado Public Radio's Nathan Heffel about Denver's transit expansion. The plan has been compared to Sound Transit 3, a transportation measure on the ballot in three Puget Sound counties.